So you expand your offerings. What kind of a menu did you come up with? And did you do it by yourself, or how did you come about that?
I realized I needed to hire somebody that had a little bit more food experience than I did. Hired a fellow by the name of Scott Linton. I actually was introduced to him by some good friends who were great customers at Eskimo Joe's. We actually went on a ski trip together. We got in the back of their van, and they were driving us out to their place in Colorado. And I say they, their family name is Lipperts. They've got Lippert Brothers Construction in Oklahoma City. Lovely, lovely people. Twins, John and Tom, were Scott's age, and they were all patrons of Eskimo Joe's. That's how I met them. So we jump in the van, and we're heading off to Colorado, and Scott and I get to talking, and I'm telling him what I'm going to have to do. Scott and I just hit it off like gasoline and matches. I mean, we were having a blast. I really liked him. I thought he could do it. So I hired him. Driving out there is when I decided he was going to be my guy. We got back and we got busy. The first guy that Scott Linton hired was a fellow by the name of Robert Williams. Robert was his right-hand man, and together they opened the kitchen at Eskimo Joe's. To this day, Robert is the director of restaurant operations at Eskimo Joe's. Yeah. And Robert had been a great customer of Joe's long before I ever put food into it. Anyway, we have obviously a very, very long-term relationship, and Robert's contributions have just been phenomenal. He was an engineer by degree. He's a great space planner. Every time I've built on, Robert's been integral in figuring out how to lay things out and everything. So his stamp on everything Eskimo Joe's and the other restaurants coming forward is just unbelievably significant.
So it was a no-brainer to put a hamburger on the menu then, right?
That's correct. When we got started, as I asked restaurateurs for advice, they came with almost invariably the exact same thing. They said, start out with a really simple menu. Don't do anything that you can't do exceedingly well. You can always expand it. But just make sure what you're delivering is an excellent product. Thought it was great advice. So we started out with a little onion fried burger. I remember as a child, I went to a place in Tulsa called Claude's. They used to be on Admiral. They're now on Peoria, and I just loved that place. My parents loved the owner. It was a family tradition way back when I was really young out on Admiral. We'd go on Friday nights. My dad would have been working all week. He'd get home. We'd go to Claude's. So I wanted that style of a hamburger because I loved the flavor profile so much. And then the other burger that I loved growing up was Goldie's Patio Grill at 51st and Lewis. So we had our little Joe, we called it, and that was basically the best copy I could do of Claude's. And then our Joe's special was as close a clone as we could muster to be like a Goldie special. And the other thing we did was fresh cut French fries. They were fabulous. There's just nothing like fresh. We just always did fresh. We had a little deal on the wall, and you'd stick a potato in there, and you whoop, and boom, out they come. We learned how to deal with all the starch in the potato and that you have to run cold water through it until the water clears. I think we actually had a Joe's dog on there, so we had a big quarter-pound all-beef hot dog that we grilled. That was it. That was how simple the menu was. That's what we started with.
Did you learn how to flip burgers yourself? Were you back in the kitchen?
No, to be honest. Scott and Robert really didn't need my high-strung way of being back there. They thought I would be disruptive, so they asked me to stay out front. You're the hospitality guy. We'll handle it. I'll never forget a couple days in. I go back there, and there's all these tickets going all the way around the steel saw. I'm looking at all the tickets, and I'm looking at how many burgers are on the grill. I remember yelling out, "You guys, put on more burgers!" And it's still a joke to this day. Robert and Scott said, "Look, whatever that last one says, we can't do that right now. We can only do so many burgers on this limited amount of grill space. We know what we're doing. Get back out there." So I just kind of had to bite my tongue and go on. But I will say this, we did have a high-quality product. We were too slow early on, and we made some mistakes. But by and large, the product was very, very good. What I was naive to was price. I way underpriced the product because what I didn't realize was the bar business had almost been self-serve. I mean, we went out, we asked if you wanted a beer, and if you did, we'd bring it to you. But by and large, people just walked up the bar. We served them right over the bar, and that was the nature of it. To put in this very simple menu, I went from 13 employees to 45, just like that. So the dynamics changed drastically for us. Just the intensity of what we were doing and the complexity of what we were doing was just night and day different. And here's the other thing that was fantastic. I was thrilled. We got the kitchen open in March of 84, I was thrilled to find out in 1984 that more people eat every day than drink every day. You know, there was really a market for this stuff. So all of a sudden, our target market goes from just college-age kids that want to party to everybody eats every day. It was unbelievable. I got really excited by that because now, man, we're seeing so many more faces than we'd ever seen. We've got a chance to give this true spirit of hospitality that was absolutely innate in me and that I'd been teaching people to deliver all these years, and we're just going to touch so many more people that I very quickly decided I was going to open a second restaurant. By fall of 1984, we opened our second restaurant, which is called Stillwater Bay Oyster Company. Scott took that one on, and he moved over to open Stillwater Bay, and Robert stayed on as the kitchen manager of Eskimo Joe's and continued to run it. By 87, I decided to do a third one. There'd been some issues. You know, the Oklahoma economy actually had had a huge downturn in the early 80s. During that time frame, there was a nice restaurant in downtown Stillwater that had been built. It was called Tingles. It was on the second story of a 12,000-square-foot building, and the restaurant was 6,000 feet on the upstairs. And the owners had spent a fortune remodeling and making it very, very nice. But they had gone under. And then the bank had actually gone under that had loaned the money on the deal, and it was in receivership. So the FDIC had that thing in receivership, and they were ready to sell it for whatever they could get for it. The public could bid on it. I actually submitted a bid a little bit late, and someone else bought it. The guy that bought it had no restaurant experience. I think realized real quickly that he was probably in over his head. He got wind of the fact that I wanted it, so he actually came to me and offered to sell it to me, and I actually bought it for him for $3,000 less than what I'd offered the FDIC, and he was willing to carry the paper on it, because at that time I would not have been able to borrow that much money from any bank. So it actually worked out. It's probably the only way I was able to get it all done. Now, the rest of my career, not sure that was a great move or that it was really long-term helpful to me, but it was a big move at the time.
So then you have three restaurants at that point. Eskimo Joe's, Stillwater Bay Oyster Company, and Mexico Joe's.
That's correct. So
all right.
When I moved Stillwater Bay downtown into that nice facility, it left a rented space where I'd started Stillwater Bay, and I had to fill it up because I had an obligation on that lease. I needed to do something. So as I assessed the marketplace, I thought there was a niche for Mexican food here. That's when we decided to give Mexico Joe's a shot.